So we start a new sugya today, Mirz Hashem, and this is on Daf Hey Amid Aleph. The Gemara has a brisa here from Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, and the subject of our discussion today is going to be a ketana, a tinokas. Just one second. And it says the following: Kol hanoshim kisman tame. So we're talking about ksamim, and therefore we're talking about tumah derabanan. And then he says, chutz mi'atinokes. Now we're going to have to ask, what is a tinokes? Who is a tinokes? Is it a function of her age? Is it a function of her simoni? The lack of the omission of simonim? That's question number one we'll have to address. Question number two is, why is there no ksamim by a tinokes? L'chora, her age, we call it in English a minor, that doesn't seem to be relevant to the question of ksamim. If the Chacham made a gzera of ksamim, why didn't they include a tinokes in the gzera of ksamim? And then he writes, Shafilus dinim shalom luchlochim bedam ein choshishin lo. So once again, just to summarize, the bottom line is that the din of ksamim doesn't apply to a tinokas. And what's a tinokas? A tinokas here is shalo higiyas mano liros. Now, if we fast forward a little bit, it says the following: Tinokes shegias manaliros yesh lo kesem, shelo igias manaliros ein lo kesem. V'emasai higias manaliros bishehigiu yimei haneurim. So, if you can jot this down, we have two phrases here in the Gemara. We have one phrase which is a phrase that's lo higias manaliros. And then the Gemara says, what does that mean, lo higiyu yimei haneurim? So we have another phrase, and that means that lo higiyu yimei haneurim. Okay, so we're going to try to analyze what this means. So first of all, Rashi, divra maschim miluchlochim bedam, which is, again, on my Gemara, it's about halfway down the Almud. Rashi says, v'lo yada i'osi migufa ilo. In the classical case of a kesem, we're not sure where the dam came from. And in the case of Muluchlochim Bedam, we're talking about a tinokes, shelo igiyas manaliros, we would have said, logically, that the same principles operate, namely that if we don't know if it's migufa or not, the Rabbanon created this gzera called ksamim. But here it says no, that although ksamim applies to all women, it does not apply to a tinokes shelo igiyas manaliros. And in that case, afilu sdinim muluchlochim bedam ein choshishin la. Okay. So what does this mean? Ein choshishin la. So Rashi says the following: Afilu ein la bameh litlos. Now, normally, if you want to be mekil in a kesem, it's based on tliya. For example, a woman finds a kesem, but she had gone through a butchery or some sort of shukshel tabach. But now, we're saying that with regard to a tinokes, even if she did not go through a shukshel tabachim, and therefore, l'chora, the law of tliya should not apply, it really can be gufa. Nevertheless, ikol ameimar, says Rashi, ovra v'lava daita. Interesting. Usually the lava daita usually goes l'chumra. Here it's going l'kula. Let's not get confused. You know, we're going to see down below our gosha might be tmeya d'rabbanon because dilma lava daita and she had our gosha. That's l'chumra. But here we're going l'kula, and was saying that maybe she actually went through a shukshel tabach. Now I don't know if she actually went through shukshel tabach, but what it means is that she's not mature enough to testify that she had some she had access to some dam, some place where there was dam floating in the air, and therefore we're going to raise that possibility. Even though she did not, to our knowledge, she did not get exposed to any of these sources of dam. Nevertheless, maybe she did in Lav Hadaita. She doesn't know about it. She doesn't tell us about it. She's too immature to be sensitive to that or to testify to that effect. Okay.
It's harder than the light. It's not so easy to do.
No, that's not going well.
No,
here's okay. Yeah. I have this. I really meant this in mind for you. You have it in your screen?
Oh, I have it, yeah.
Okay, so, again...
I thought you meant it for you because it's too hard to bring this.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. No. These actually are for me. Yeah, these are for me. So that one I have. Again, it all depends what value of the Masifti you have. So that volume I have. So this is for you. Okay? But you know, Rabbi Sachtowitz doesn't have a Gemara, so now he has one. Okay? Normally, Rabbi Sachtowitz, you would take the Gemara from the Yeshiva's library, but now it's being used. So that's, I got into a little bit of a moral dilemma whether I should take it back from the Talmud, but, you know, he wants to use it, so... So I apologize if it was too much of a tircha. I didn't mean to be that.
No,
okay, fine. Let's go on. So we're looking at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Ein Choshesh in Law, which is approximately a third or almost a halfway down the page. Rashi says that in the case of a tinokes, is Ein Choshesh in Law. Notice we're not going to assume that there's a serious possibility that the dam came the gufa. But rather, we're going to assume that it came me'alma, it came from somewhere else. Now, again, if it was a case where she went through a shukshal tabachim, then I don't need tinokas for that, because even if she was a gedola, if she went through a shukshal tabachim, obviously you're going to be told that it came migufa, and the kesem is not metame. Kesem is metame when she did not have a tliya. Here, in the case of a tinokas, even though she does not have room for a tliya, she did not, as far as we know, she did not enter into a shukshal tabachim. Nevertheless, we're going to assume that the dam came from somewhere. And why is that so? Says Rashi, afilu ein lo b'melitlos to b'shukshal tabachim lo avra, ikol emeima avra v'lava daita. You know, it's not like we have a testimony that she was locked up in jail and she couldn't have had any access to a shukshal tabachim. But to the best of her knowledge and our knowledge, she didn't go through a shukshal tabachim, but maybe she did. And since maybe she did, Rashi says we're going to apply tliya, and therefore the kesem of a tinokes is not metame. And Rashi says the following: Daha begufa ein litlos kol ikar. In other words, dam below our gosh is only drabanon, and that's called a kesem. So Shmuel says, for example, on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, that she checked the karka, then she sat in the karka, she finds dam that she's tmeya midrabbana, midraisa bipsara, she didn't have aragosha's bipsara. And the rabbana are going to be afraid that maybe the dam came migufa, and that's in a case of a gedola. But here in the case of a ketana, the rabbana are not worried about a kesem, that maybe this is dam migufa. And we're not going to assume that the dam came migufa. We're not going to attribute the dam to migufa. Diksamim derabbanan inhu. V'chigazer abbanan bihigiyaz mana didam motzui ba. In other words, a woman who's reached this state of higiyaz mana, which we said is called yimei ne'urim, right? We'll get back to that. Then she has dam motzui. But before that age, she doesn't have dam motzui. And since she doesn't have dam motzui, we would rather assume the probability points to the fact that it came from somewhere else and not lav migufa. So therefore, the gzeriv ksamim does not apply. Al beha, but in this woman, lo gazer hol vi ein la damim. She doesn't have dam. She's too young for dam. Ulekamon mefarish ezehu zmana. Oh, what is zmana? So we saw that the Brisa says that it's mishigiyu yimei hanaurim. So what does that phrase mean? Rashi says Shehivia Shte Saros O Bas Yudbeis Shonav Yom Echad V'Afal Pi Shelo Hevia Shte Saros. So what would you say, I mean, if I were to test you, so to speak, I mean, if you have the Rashi inside, it's a little easier, but those who have photographic memories, what would you say, according to Rashi, how would you define Higiel Yemei Hanu'urim? At what point does she have Tumas Ksamim?
She becomes a Gedola. Simanim
are... Say it again?
Simanim or Yudbeis.
Or Yudbeis. Now, the rabbi was very right by adding the word or, right? Because Rashi says, oh. Yeah. Now, what's the status of a woman who has shonim but doesn't have simonim, or has simonim without shonim? She's a ketana.
You have to have both.
In order to be a gedol, you have to have both. Now, there may be circumstances in which we have assumptions. You know, if she reaches that age, we may have an assumption that she has simonim. But we have to assume she has simonim. Rashi says that she doesn't have simanim. Look at Rashi again. He says, "Ulekama b'farish ezu zmana mishigia yemei neurim sheivia shte saros o bas yudbei shonim v'yom echad afal pisha loivia shte saros." No, if loivia shte saros, my friend, she is not a gdola. And this Rashi generates a whole literature here. And he has a lot of opponents. Now, in order to see the opposition, we should be opening up the Torah Sabayis of the Rashba. But it's kind of Chatoya and Imazki, I don't have access to that sefer. So we're going to look at the Beis Yosef. Yeah.
So Rashi is saying you need both or either or?
Either or. Either Rashi is saying either or. Right. Which goes in two directions. The Ritva spells this out. That it could mean that she has simonim even though she hasn't reached the age of 12. It could mean that she reached the age of 12 but she doesn't have simonim. And in either case, she's called Higiel Li'eis Ne'urim. So what I have here in front of me, if you can make a note of it, is the Beis Yosef on the tour Simon Kuf Tzadi, 190. And let's just read what the Torah himself says. The Torah says that Lo Gozru ala Kesem, they didn't make this Gzera on Ksamim, in Tinoke Shalo Yigia Zman Aliros. Okay. So let's see the Beis Yosef. It says here in the Torah, Im Yeshla Shtemes Reishonim V'yom Echad. Okay, so the Torah clearly says that she has shonim. Rashi says she doesn't have shonim. She has simonim. I mean, in one possibility, you follow me. He says, yesh la kesem. And then he goes on, he says, the mistoma hevia simonim. So again, he's operating with the premise that you need both shonim and simonim. And where did the Torah get this from? Because this is against Rashi, says the Beis Yosef, it's based on the Rashba. And the Rashba writes the following. He says, Kosav HaRashba, B'toras HaBayis, Midepasik V'toni, Tinokes Shegiya Zman Aliros Yesh La Kesem. Okay, fine. He says, Kol shi pchusa mibas yudvei shonim v'yom echad, afal pi shehivya simonim, is yesh lo keser. Do kaimu lo kerov, and di omer perk yotzei dofen, okay, this is a sugi later on, with regard to chalitza, that if she has simonim before shonim, it's shuma be'alma, that's not called simonim, v'hu adin bas yudvei shonim v'yom echad, im lo evia shtei saros, is called she lo hevia shtei saros ketana hi. So it's clear, says the Beis Yosef from the Rashba, that the gzera of ksamim kicks in after she has both. A plus B, she's got shonim and simonim. Now Rashi says that she can have one or the other. That's what he writes in Midivri Rashi Nire. Dili olam mishihigia lechlal shnoseha chayshina b'ksav, afal pisha lo hevia simonim. Shehuz al kosav, mishigir yemei ni'urim shehevia shtei saros, o, bas yud beishonim yomechem lo hevia shtei saros, ad kalishono. V'nire, the Beis Yosef, although again he presented a different sheet, that the Rashba requires both Shonim and Simonim, but he says, what brought Rashi to this strange conclusion? This is not what we call the classical definition of a Gedola. Nirish's Kiko Lefarish came in at me the Ka'omar, because the language of the Vaisa was Shehigiu Yimei Hana'urim. What is Yimei Hana'urim? The word Yomim indicates a certain age. It doesn't say a word about Simonim. Alma Vagos Yomim Bilachud. That's enough to gender the din of ksavim. Vized dochok. Now, Beis Yosef is clearly sides here with the Rashba. And then he writes, umatzasi, and I found something explicit like the Rashba. Bitosefta. Again, if anybody by chance has a mesechta nida with the tosefta in the back, ubitosefta b'mesechta nida perkama halacha hei. Here's what it says in the Tosefta. May emasai ru'uya liros. Ru'uya liros means for ksavim. Mishehivia shtei saros. Now, Rashi said that yimei hana'urim means even without shtei saros. But here it's explicit that you need shtei saros. Now, shtei saros is shuma unless she has shonim. So by definition, the Tosefta is requiring both shonim and simonim. And that's clearly like the Rashba. Rabbi Yerucham Kasav Divrei Rashba, and so forth. So that's what we have here in the Beis Yosef.
Regarding a boy, does he also hold you have to have either or years or saras or? But there he has both.
Correct.
A boy, he has to have both.
But you're saying you jack up by 1 year, it's your give, but he needs both. Otherwise, it's called shu.
That's the Rashba.
No, I'm saying nobody disagrees with that. Rashi only says this with regard to ksavim. I don't want anyone walking out of here thinking that Rashi has a different definition of godless. I mean, the Gemara says mefurish, as far as chalitza is concerned, she can only have chalitza as a gedola, which means that she has both shonim and simonim. If she has shonim without simonim, she's not a gedola. If she has simonim without shonim, it's shuma. It's not called simonim.
So it's only by this, Rashi. Rashi's only
by this. So the Achronim want to suggest, I saw it in the Cheshek Shoma, he wants to suggest the following. That fundamentally, Rashi agrees with the Rashba. And we require, for sure, both Shonim and Simonim. What Rashi wants to suggest is that if she has Shonim, we assume she has Simonim. If we know that she doesn't have Simonim, then for sure she's not a Gedola. But with regard to Ksavim, and perhaps only Ksavim, and this has no impact or no analogy to Chalitza, which is a Doraisa, or maybe other Dinim Doraisa, with regard to Ksavim, the Rabbanan assumed that if she had Shanim, then she had Simon. That's what it says in the Cheshek Shlom. But the only thing is I don't know how to read this into Rashi. It's a very nice Chiddush, but look at Rashi's language. Rashi says, "Afal bishalohi viyeshte shtei saros," meaning Rashi is going on record as saying that she doesn't have saros. So you're telling me that Rashi is saying that with choshek that if he had simonim, if she had shanim, then she had simonim. But Rashi is saying afal bishalohi viyeshte saros. Very strange. Now, what I want to quote to you is the Bir Hagra in the Shulchan Aruch. Let me just see how I organize myself here. Okay. The Bir Hagra, which if you want to note, it's found here on page Tzadi Aleph, if you have this Shulchan Aruch. He writes the following. This is Simon Kuf Peites. We're learning Kuf Tzadi, but he makes his comment back in Kuf Peites. And he says the following. He says that, just 1 second. Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch writes the following. Tinokes shelo higia zmano liros vehi ktano shelo higia liyamei hanu'urim v'afilu heviya shtei saros v'chein afilu higia liyamei hanu'urim im badkua v'lo heviya shtei saros, etc., etc. So Shulchan Aruch clearly requires both Shonim and Simon. Says the Gaon, Udelo Kirashi, Shom Daf Heyom and Alf Divya Maschil Lo Choshishin, Divi Echamem Sagi. Shulchan Aruch requiring both Shonim and Simonim is against Rashi on Daf Hey, who requires one or the other. He says, Veloshon Mishi Giu. Dachako. In other words, since the lashon of the, what is it, a brisa? Just 1 second. I just want to make sure. I keep saying brisa. 1 second. Yeah, but the language of the brisa is mishigir yemei neurim dachako. Dachako means that's what forced Rashi's hand, because there's no mention here of simanim. All it says is Higiyo ne'urim, yimei ha'ne'urim. Higiyo means that the time came about. It doesn't say anything about simonim. V'lesa, which literally means Rashi's wrong. Why is Rashi wrong? De'behejet tanya b'tosefta, is what we saw in the name of the Rashba. Mishei v'yo shtei saros, Torah sabayis. Oh, v'Rashi. Oh, here's where they're going to add something. V'Rashi Mifaresh, Rashi will interpret, he has no choice, the Tosefta, the Mairi, that the Tosefta is talking about a case. Just 1 second, let me get this straight. Rashi. Oh, yeah, good, I got it. Sorry, it's when there's a mathematical calculation, I need a second. Rashi, Mashi Mifaresh, the Sham Mairi. The Tosefta requires Shtei Saros. That's against Rashi. Rashi says Shonim is enough. Says the Gond, the Tosefta Mairi Kodem Liyud Bei Shana. She's less than 12. And therefore Rashi says the Echad Mehem Sagi. In other words, we have the Brisa quoted in the Bavli, and that says Mishi Gia Yemei Hanaurim. How do we translate that according to Rashi? Yudei Shana. And then we have the Brisa that says Mishi Via Shtei Saros. So Rashi said they're both right. They're talking about two different cases. The Bavli is talking about a case where she didn't have Simonim, and the Tosefta is talking about a case where she didn't read Shana. And in both cases, she's metame betumas ksamim. The Bible is talking about case number one, where she had shonim without simonim, and she's metame betumas kesem. And the Tosefta is talking about case two, where she has simonim without shonim, and she's metame tumas ksamim. And they're both right. And therefore the Rashi says that if one or the other conditions have been met, then she's metame tumas ksamim. That's what I think the Gaon is saying. So again, what pushed Rashi is the fact that the Bavli, the Brisa according to the Bavli, doesn't use the same language as the Tosefta. It changes the language of the Tosefta. The Tosefta used the language of Shtei Saros, of Simonin. Correct? And the Bavli, the Brisa according to the Bavli, doesn't mention a word about Shtei Saros. All it mentions is Mishi Giel Yemei Hanu'urim, which Rashi understood to mean Shonin, without mention of Simonim. So you might think that Tosefta, and this is how the Rashba would interpret, is assuming that even though she has Shonim, she needs Shtei Saros. No, Rashi says it means she has Shtei Saros without Shonim. And therefore, Rashi would hold that justifies the two Lashonos. one lashon of the Braisa and the Bavli, and the other lashon of the Tosefta's we have it. There's no stira between the two. Rashi wants to make peace and harmony between the lashon of Bavli and the lashon of Tosefta, and they're both addressing two different cases. But the final principle in halacha is accepted universally that one or the other. It's either shanim without simanim or simanim without shanim. And the Ritva here on this sugya says explicitly that it's one or the other. And it's pretty much explicit in Rashi as well. I mean, Rashi maybe is a little bit shy of saying it outright, but that's what Rashi means. Okay, so let me put this on the side over here. Okay. Okay. So that's what we have so far. Now I want to take a look at the Bach. Okay. It says in the tour, V'im yeshla yud beis shanim v'yom echad is yeshla kesem. Says the Bach Sham, Daf Heim and Aleph, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, Omer Noshim, She'omru, V'tinoke she'igia zman aliros, Yeshla kesem, V'shelo yigia zman aliros, Ein lo kesem, V'emasa yigia zman aliros, V'shigiu yimei hanu'urim, V'pirish Rashi, V'shigiu yimei hanu'urim, She'hevia, Shtei Saros, O Bas Yud Bei Shana V'yom Echad Afapi Shalohe V'ya Shtei Saros. Okay. Good. So the way we're interpreting it is that Shtei Saros itself would be called, so would have Ksavim, even without Shanim. And if you flip it around, if she has Shanim, then even though she doesn't have Shtei Saros, that's explicit here, she nevertheless is Metami Tumas Ksavim. Akan Lashon. That's the Lashon of Rashi. Nire, the Sfile Larashi, the Mida Katani Bistoma, Mishi Giu Yume Anu Urim, Alma, the Afal Gav, the Le'in Chalitza, Umiun, right, what's Kedushe Miun? He married a Katana without the father, correct? And in such case, the whole Kedushin is only Durabonon, and therefore she can leave that marriage and terminate it with Miun. That's because she's a Katana. After she becomes a Gedola, we assume that they consummated the marriage on a Doraisa level, and she needs a get. Says the Bach, the Afal Gav Delinian Chalitzu Miun Katana he. I guess he means if you only have one of the two, she's a Katana. Mikomakom Le'inyan Nida Shetehe Bechazoka Shehi Roa Dam, meaning that the Dam is coming from her body. Is miyad she via shtei saras afal pisha eno bas yud bei shonim v'yomechad inami bas yud bei shonim v'yomechad afal pi shaloi via shtei saras bechazoka shetira dam hi. At this point already, she's mature enough to have dam on a regular basis. V'yeshla kesem, and therefore she's included in some v'avala rash b'betoras habayis meviyah beis Yosef echria di ein lo kesem. Elim came kshehi bas yud beis shanim yomecha v'gam heviya shtei saros. Aval im eino bas yud beis shanim yom echad afilu heviya shtei saros is havi shuma bi'alman v'uktana hi v'yem lo kesa v'chein im bas yud beis shanim yom echad hi u'bad kua v'yem lo saros nami ein lo kesa v'yem choshishim shema noshru. We're not going to assume she had Shtei Saros and they fell off. Elo legabe chalitza umiun, if we check her out and she doesn't have Saros, and therefore we would assume that the chalitza, the, let's say the miun, for example, we'll talk about chalitza later, but the miun is therefore valid. He says the ikosofik dorais, because maybe she did have Saros and they fell. So the absence of Saros is not an absolute conclusive proof, and therefore on a deraisa we have to be choshish for that, and therefore she may be gdol, and therefore miyun is not sufficient. We require get misafek. Al b'ksamim derabbanan, the whole issue and institution of ksamim is only derabbanan. Ein choshen shemen nashru. Period. Now, even the Rashba would agree that im lo bat kua, so she's already 12 years old and they didn't check it out, then mistama machzikin lo diyesh lo shtei saros. But again, because we have to have both shonim and saros. And therefore, yesh lo kes. The kol zeh hu shitas harashba lo digdek v'udalokim pirish Rashi. And this is against Rashi, who says that one or the other is sufficient. Now again, on a logical level, to explain Rashi, again, we have the Gaon gives us a brilliant insight into where Rashi conjured up this new concoction here that's very unique, that one or the other is enough, that we have a deal. But the logic of Rashi, so again, as I said before, the Cheshek Shlomo insists that Rashi is going to assume that on a Daraisa level we need both. What the Rabbanan are going to say is that if she had one or the other, we assume she had the other one. That would be machmir in that way. But Rashi is explicit against that, because Rashi says, Afal pisha emos simon. Oh. So that's the Bach. Maybe, Rabbi, I could trouble you just to maybe put it on the table. I'll need it later, but at least that's what we have. Okay. So there's no question, according to the Bach, that there's machlokas here between Rashi and the Rashba. The Bach doesn't blink about that. Nor does the Gaon. The Cheshek Shlomo is the one who's trying to make peace between Rashi and the Rashba, and then Rashi fundamentally agrees with the Rashba that you need both, but just if you have one, we're going to assume that you had the other. The Bach, on the other hand, says, why assume that we had the other? Because we're only dealing with Kesem Derabba. Okay. So now, what I want to do is move on to another topic within this topic and then see if we can tie it back to that first topic. So the second topic for today is what would be in a case where we absolutely know that there's no tliya, that the dam came migufa, and she's a ketana, she's a tinokas. So if you take a look at Rashi again, Rashi says that ikal emema avra v'lava daite. Rashi is saying that maybe she did go to a shukshal tabachin. So even though in a case of a gdola, we would in order to be mekil in ksamim, be matayraha, be din tliya, we would have to have an explicit knowledge, a statement on her part that she went through a shukshal tabachin. In the case of a ketana, Rashi says, we don't need for her to make that claim. It's kind of like Tainin and Liyasme, you know, Psach Bithalilim, will put forth that claim on her behalf that she went through a Shukshal Tabachim. Again, Shukshal Tabachim is a generic term, it's a code word for some exposure, some access to Dam. And we're going to say Lava Daite, meaning the fact that she doesn't remember, she doesn't claim, she doesn't know, that's irrelevant. She's too young and immature for that, but so comes along the Divrei Chamudos, and I'm going to try to see if I can read this part. Pirish Rashi, this is Os Ches. Again, I'm very curious to go back to Oz Zion as well, but Od Chazon, you know, maybe we'll have time for that. He says the following. Pirish Rashi, afilu ein lo bamel litlos, dibishuk shel tabachim lo avra, ikol emeimar avra velava daite, dobe gufa ein litlos kol ikar. Okay? Mashma. Mashma lichora, di ilu I efshar lomar sha'avra. Okay, she was locked up in a prison. She had no exposure to dam. He says kigon shelo zaza mitov besa. Okay, so she ein achinami. In such a case, according to Rashi, Mikavon di al karchenu tzrichim on a lomar sheba migufa, In such a case, we have no choice. Where did the dam come from? This is not, this is not a miracle, right? This is not immaculate dam, or I don't know what the phrase would be. He says, "B'chai gavna," according to Rashi, "d'tmeahi." So this is amazing, because what the Dibur Chamuras is telling us, and I think a careful reading of Rashi justifies his conclusion, is that we're mistaken if we read this Gemara as saying that a tinokes doesn't have ksamim. That's a little bit oversimplified. You know, somebody's going to give a bang on the table, on the shtender, and he's going to say, "I want to tell everybody here in the Olam that a tinokes doesn't have ksamim." Whoever that tinokes is, Meir can islay the Rashba, and then Rashi can islay. That's not true, says the Dibur Chamuras. Rashi says that we're going to assume maybe she went through a shuk shel tabach, and we're going to be told it. I mean, fundamentally, she has something. Just that we're going to always use Tliya. In the case of a Gedola, we can't use Tliya. Yes, we know, and she states, she takes a declaration on a Bible, and she says, "I know I went through shuk shel tabach." Then we can be told. In the case of a Ketana, we're always going to assume that she went through a shuk shel tabach. Says the Dibur Chamuras, but lu yitzur, we know for sure that she did not go through a shuk shel tabachim. Then Achinami should have a tumas ksamim. A tumas ksamim is an entity. The Rabbanan recognized tumas ksamim as tuma. Narvas, did it come igufa? Did it not come igufa? So we're gonna make a distinction here. We're gonna say in the case of a gedola, we assume it came igufa, and that's why the Rabbanan metame ksamim. In the case of a ketana, we're not gonna assume it came igufa. It came alma, even though she didn't go through a shuk shel tabachim. Yeah, but that's only true b'med v'amur if logically you know there's a possibility that she went through a shuk shel tabacha. But if you completely undermine that possibility, and the reality is such that she definitely did not have any exposure to damim, lo zaza mi tov pesa, then she would be tmeya. Why not? I mean, it's the same tumas ksam. That's what the Dibur Chamuras says over here.
Why don't we add that maybe the blood came from not the makor, from the tzadanim, or from? I mean, she has a cheskes.
Well, that's a good question for the kesef mishnah's question for ksamim in general. Right. The kesef mishnah that we spoke about 2 days ago. I don't know if you were here, Joel. He says I raise an objection to the whole institution of tuma derabbanan. It makes no sense. It's a spek sveka. Suffix number one, did it come mi alma? And suffix number two, where did it come mi gufa? Did it come in aliyah or in a cheder?
From a katana, it's even more of a suffix.
Why?
Because she doesn't have dam to start with. I mean, from the makor.
Ah, you mean it's more logical that she had dam min aliyah?
She had dam from the makor.
I don't know. You know what? For that, we'll have to ask the gynecologist. I'm not sure. Let me assume, Joel, again, just to make life easy for myself. I'm just thinking out, so to speak, from your question, that in the case of a ketana, the chances of dam from here or dam from there are the same, as long as we know that the dam is migufa. Cheder or aliyah is not a difference in it, is because she's a ketana. What is a difference because she's a ketana is the reasonable doubt that maybe she went through a shuk shel tabachim. If you close your door from that doubt, and there's no later sasofik that there was dam outside her goof, that's exactly what Tumas Ksom is all about. I freck the Kesef Mishnah, you got a Svek Sveka. Because even if I grant you the dam is Migufa, so what? Maybe it came in Aliyah. Okay, so the two answers of the Kesef Mishnah, either it's a separate Chumrah in Nida, because the Chumrah is Nida, or because, we really don't believe that it came in the Alma. She didn't go through a shuk shel tabach, and why should we assume that it came anywhere except for gufa? And she finds a kesem on a beged, we assume it came mi gufa, and really is only one suffix. Here, in the case that the Dibur Chamuras is conjuring up for us in front of our eyes, there's no question that it came mi gufa. No, you could add, but maybe the rabbanu wouldn't make this gzera because perhaps it came min aliyah. So we can go like the Taz if you want, just again to make life easy. But the Taz says that there really is no chash that it came in aliyah. That dam coming out of a goof comes from the mokar. And I'm going to assume that applies even to a katan. Oh. Now, what's going to happen here, I'm going to stop for a minute in the middle of the Divrei Chamudos, because I want to read the end of Rashi. Because really, what the Divrei Chamudos postulates here is based on the Reisha of Rashi. But this Rashi is made up of two parts. And Rashi says the following. He says, Deha Divagufa Ein Litlos Kol Ikar. Now, notice, please, the extra two words here, Kol Ikar. Those are superfluous words. Rashi could have stopped, quit while you're ahead. He could have said, Begufa Ein Litlos, meaning she doesn't have a massive amount of dam at this young age, and therefore it probably came Mi'alma. Even though she didn't go through Shuk Shal Tabachim, but Lava Daite. But Rashi says, Kol Ikar. Now watch how the story unfolds over here. Rashi says, Deha Diksamim Dirabonan Inhu. Now watch the next line. This is unbelievable. V'chi gazer abanon. I'm going to add a word to Rashi. V'chi gazer abanon ksamim. Right? Is that's what? That's be'igiyaz mana. Only with regard to a woman who's dam motzila. And he spells it out. He says, aval baha. And again, we have to add a few words in brackets. Aval baha, in this case of lo'igiyaz mana. Lo gazer. Oviein lo damin. Now, Rabosai, I'm going to talk to you like I would speak to a kindergarten class, you know, if you don't mind. Nobody's insulted. Just picture the scene, Rabosai. Imagine the scene. We're going to create a scene. I remember when I was a youngster studying for Smicha, they told us to go see a video of Mechiras Chavetz. You know, so we should actually see how you sell the Chavetz to a guy. You know, they have a video. I don't know if it's, you can still get it maybe on the internet from 50 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So let's just imagine a picture here. The Rabbanan are sitting in Sanhedrin. And the Nesiah Sanhedrin gets up and he makes a declaration. Let's take a vote. Should we institute a gzera called Ksan? You know, and now they're going to take a vote on it. And this is going to pass, right? That we know, because we live after that period of time. What did he exactly say to the Sanhedrin? I'm going to give you two possibilities. Possibility number one, he said that any woman that has a reasonable doubt that this dam might have come migufa, we have to institute ksamim. Or did they say the following? Let's institute the gzera of ksamim for a woman who is higiyaz mana liros. And there's a tremendous nafkamiyah between A and B. In the case of A, they didn't limit the original gzera. The original gzera applies whenever there's a reasonable doubt, and we have reason to believe that the dam came migufa. Aye, the Gemara says, lo yigiyaz mana, there's no ksam. The answer is because there's no reasonable doubt that it came migufa. We have every reason to assume she has so little dam. Probably it came in alma. Aye, she never went through a shuk shal tabachim. Lava daite. You have tos the kasha. Lava daite. But the second definition says something else. There was a stipulation, there was a limiting clause in the original gzera when they took the vote. Again, I'm just dramatizing it. And that means that there was never a gzera with regard to this woman because she's considered in her own category. She never had the category of ksamen. The gzera was never instituted for ksamen.
Even if we know she went through shuk shal kabosim because she wasn't instituted for her.
Even though we know she did not go through a shuk shal kabosim. Is that what you said?
No,
again, if she went through a shuk shal tabach, and then even if she would be a gedola, there would be no ksamen. The chiddush here is, the chiddush here is that even though she definitely did not go through a shuk shal tabach, it doesn't matter. Now, the answer to this question, I think, depends upon the ratio or the sefer of Rashi. There's mamash astira in Rashi. Rashi in the ratio assumes that, well, she doesn't remember, she can't tell us that she went through a shuk shal tabach. And therefore we're going to assume with this woman who has such a limited volume of dam coming out, it came in alma. Aye, she didn't go through a shuk shal, she went through a shuk shal tabach. You say yes and I say no, right? Says the Chemdes, the Divrei Chamudos, but if Liyitzur, we know she did not, she was mamish locked up, then her situation, her status is exactly identical to Gdola. Because we have no reason to, there's no possibility of Tliya. We know it can be Gufa. And that's exactly what the Takana of Ksamu was all about. The gzeir of ksav tumah de rabbanan was a woman who has dam that we assume came in gufa. Here we're going to have to assume it came in gufa because there's no such thing as immaculate dam. It didn't come from nowhere. That's the ratio of Rashi. And the Divrei Chavrutas is 100% correct. But now we read the Sefer of Rashi. And Rashi says explicitly that regarding this woman, Lo Gazru Rabbanan. Tislach li Adoni, she was never included in the original Gzeira. So you can take your head and bang it against the wall, mend the cup and slug it in the vant, you know. It doesn't make a bit of a difference. She was never in the original Gzeira. So you're coming up with a case where we locked her up in a prison and we know that the dam came in gufa, but it doesn't matter. She was never included in the gzeira. You hear the love this here. And perhaps that's what the Divrei Chavrutas means, you know, as he goes on. I don't know, I think, I hope. He says, Ulefi ze madam asayim rashi because of the ksomim de rabbanan inu v'chi goz rabbanan dafka b'gi azmana the dam motzli b'avol b'ha d'lo igi azmana lo gozur hol v'yem lo domim hachi kamar d'lo gozur kevon de'ika l'mikle. That's a real stretch. Lo gozur kevon de'ika l'mikle d'yema avra v'lava daite. That's not the lashon of Rashi. Now I don't know who he quotes here. Just want to let me just see if it's relevant to us. What's the dvarav shel Rashi's? I don't know. He says that somebody, I don't know who Rami is. I mean, I know the supermarket, but whoever this Rami is, he wants to change the language of Rashi. To call a kavod, but I don't, who gives him a right to change the language of Rashi? Oh, lachein nirali, the tikuno, this Rami who wants to somehow fix up the language of Rashi, tikuno hu ivuso.
I think he's trying to reconcile the Reisha and the Sefer of Rashi. Lomar, lahosif al taimo harishanhu. Oh, beautiful. Now I'm excited. Shebala hakel. Afilu hecha deleka limitle klal. That what is Rashi adding here? Again, I'm not clear about one thing. Why did Rashi bother with the resha? He should have jumped right to the sefer. But in any event, one thing's clear. Rashi is giving two tamim. The first tam, which is in the resha, that goes only halfway. That tells me that as a general rule, I assume that she had exposure to dam, even though we don't have any definite knowledge or reason to assume she went to, but lava daite. Then Rashi gives a second time, namely that she wasn't included in the gzera from the get-go. He says, "V'lachein hosif al tama rishon." Rashi's adding to the first time. Shabala hakel afilu hecha deleka lemitne klal dimei karahu dekamar. From the get-go, they said that yesh lanu litlos afilu b'shelo avra. Why? Because since Ksamim Drabana and Lo Gozer Klal, they didn't make any gzera whatsoever with regard to this woman. Vafiluim e efshalonu lomar that she went through Shukshel Tabach Vilava Daite, Afilu Hochi Rabbanan Lo Gozer. The Rabbanan did not make gzera at all. So leaving out this Rami guy in the middle, I don't know who he is exactly, it comes out that the maskana of the Divrei Chavrutas is Rashi is adding something to his original tam, because all of a sudden between the Reisha and the Sefer, Rashi asked himself the question, well, what would be if Lu Yitzushi was locked up and we know that she had no exposure to any other dam, we have no possibility of Tliya. Comes on Rashi in his second tam, he says that she wasn't included in the original Gzera of Ksom. Now, I would love to see this in the poskim. That the poskim would say to us that in all events, in all cases, no matter what, there's no tumas ksamim in a case of a ketana lo igia zman aliros.
However, I wasn't successful because what I found here is the following. Okay, let me read to you two lines in the Chavos Das. Chavos Das was the Nesivos, and he writes here, Yoredei Siman Kuf Tzadi, that's our Siman. Here at Sivkot and Gimel, Chidushim, he writes, let me just read to you the language of the Shulchan Aruch again. He says, Lo Gazru B'tinoko Shalo Higiyaz Manaliros. That's the language of the Mechaber. What does that sound like, Rav Osai? That sounds like the Divrei Chamudos, the way he learns the Sefer of Rashi. Lo Gazru B'tinokos. Comes along the Chavos Das, and he writes, Ein Mitarim Kisameha of a Tinokos, Ela B'mokom De'ika L'meimar, Ovra B'shuk Shal Tabochim V'lav Adayte. Aval I Vaday Osi Migufa, means she was locked up, Rak D'lo Hirgisha, all that's missing here is Hargosha, T'meya. U'D'lo Kimashma Midivri Ashach. I was unsuccessful in finding the shach. So again, I'm gonna continue looking for the shach. Let me just look one more time. Sometimes you get a little siyat d'shmaya in shir because of the z'chus arabim. Before the shir, I couldn't find it. I don't know.
Chavos Das doesn't deal with the Sefer Rashi.
Not only doesn't he deal with the Sefer Rashi, I mean, at least he should be loyal to the language of the Shulchan Aruch. My gosh, the Chavos Das, a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says, Lo Gazru B'tinokos, Delo Higiyaz Manaliros. See, he's an Iver Chacham. Oh, you know why Lo Gazru? Because we assume it came from there and then. But if we have no room to assume so, then Gazru. Doesn't say that in the Shulchan Aruch. But you're right, he's certainly oblivious to the Rashi. Maybe at Rami's Rashi. Whoever the Rashi is. Now, of course we have the Sidri Tara. The Sidri Tara says, this is, here it's on page Tuf Lam and Vav. Dafka hecha de'ikol emisli de'ovra v'lava daite. He's not quoting the Chavos Das. He's saying this al das atzma. Again, I'll read it again. Dafka hecha the ikol emisli di avra v'lava daite. Aval hecha the lekol emisli kigon shenimtza begufa. He doesn't give the case where she was locked up, but why not give a simpler case? She found the dam on a guf. You know, if it's coming on a bgadim from a butchery, that's one thing. But if she finds it on her body, we know it came from her body. You know the flying dam in the air didn't enter under a bgadim and find his body. Is kevan devadei migufa asya? Is af betinoke shelo igiyas mana liros tmeya? It means she's included in the tumas ksom. So we have now two against. I don't know. I'd say two against one here because it's not just me, but it's the Divrei Chamudos. He, in his final conclusion, he assumes that according to Rashi, even if Lu Yitzur, we know that she. So Adam Migufa, it doesn't matter. There's a technical foul over here. What do I mean? The Rabbanan made a Gzera of Ksavim, and they didn't include this Tinokas in the Gzera of Ksavim. Now, by the way, in our time, this is not so relevant in contemporary life, but back in the day, you know, the Torah itself recognizes a marriage, I don't have to tell you, of a Ketana, if a father marries a Ruf, that's Doraisa did. And now the man has to know whether he's allowed to have relations with his wife, and she's less than 12 years old. So what happens in such a case? She found the kesem al begada. And not only that, she had no exposure whatsoever to a shukshal tabachim. Well, what's the halach in such a case? Now he writes up as a shtickle Torah. You know, the Sidri Torah was a big lump. And he writes the following. He says... the following. He says, I'm sorry, one more point before we get to his lumbus. He says, the ayin pirish rashi li elmine dibra masmil miluchlochim bedam. Okay, if you have the Gemara, let's look at the Rashi right before. We're spending all our time on the ratio of the Sefer Rashi, dibra masmil enchai shinin. Well, look at the Rashi before that, miluchlochim bedam. Right? Rabbi Chanina ben Antigno says that in the case of this young girl, Tinoka shel Yizmar lives, even if she finds that her bed is saturated with her sheets are saturated with blood, nevertheless, ein choshesh in law. Zot Rashi, muluchlochim bedam, velo yadana I osi migufa ilav. Now watch this scene over here. Her sheets are full of blood. Where'd the blood come from? She went through a butchery shop? She shot down a bird from Shamayim? Give it a break. This l'chora would be proof positive to the Divrei Chamudos, meaning the assumption that we know it came migufa, it didn't come mi'alma, but nevertheless ain't choshim lo, she's not included in the original Gzeirah of Ksamim, there was no argosh, and therefore it's a kesa. Says the Sidri Tara, but then Rashi himself was bothered by this question. I don't understand his answer exactly from a physical point of view, and it seems, but Rashi says, Velo yada I osi migufa ila. I don't know, maybe that big bed bugs. Say that twice fast. I mean, five times fast. Yeah. In any event, you hear what I'm saying? Rashi is clearly saying, Delo yada. But if it would be yada, then she would be Tmeya. Rashi says, Lo yada imigufa ilav. Beautiful diuk of the... Now, the Divrei Chamudos racked his brains on this Rashi, ain't choshesh in law, but he completely ignores the first Rashi. And in the first Rashi, he's clearly, Rashi, going on record as saying that maybe it came from Alma and it didn't come Migufa. Even though it's dinim uluchlochim bedam. Mashma deich devade Migufa asya, the Sidri Tara, lo tanin and klal. He wants to prove, support this conclusion from the Rashba. Oh. So he says the following. He says the compelling logic here is with Rashi, the way we're interpreting Rashi, says the Sidri Tara. Why? He says, Dafka hecha de iko lemisle, when there's a possibility of tliya de bi'alma asya, who de mekilinon betinoka shalo yigiyas mana liros. Aval, I efsho lefarish kipshuto, de kevan de bidaraisa be'inanat shetargish, elachachomim osru, is lo gazru betinokos shalo yigiyas mana. It's impossible to interpret it that she's not included in the Gzerah, like the Divrei Chamudos understood in the Sefer of Rashi, or the way the Chavistas quotes the Shach. I just apologize, I couldn't find the Shach. Nobody seems to tell you where the Shach is. I wish they did. The Ozel Rashi Lishitas. And Rashi, Rashi is Lishitas. Okay, now here we have to really put on our thinking caps. Sherashi Piresh Lekamon Bedaf Nun Ches Amid Aleph. And thanks, Yechiel, for printing this out for me. What does Rashi say on the top of Nun Ches Amid Aleph? The Gemara says on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis that according to Shmuel you need Dam Bahar Gosha. And then the Gemara says, "Omar Av Yirmiyah Midifti Modes Shmuel Shehi Tmeya Midrabbana." That without Argosha, Shmuel admits that she's Tmeya Midrabbana. So Rashi says on the top here of Nunches Amid Aleph, "Dilma Argisha V'Lava Daita." That even though she denies Argosha, but maybe she did have Argosha. We had a long discussion about this 2 days ago. Okay. Says the Sidrei Tara, if we're afraid of Hargosha, if that's what this whole business of Tumah D'Rabbanan and Ksavim is all about, in Cain, mehai time of Gozer Rabbanan, that she's Tmeya even below Hargosha, ma ika ben higiyaz mana lelo higiyaz mana. Otu mishum delo higiyaz mana, leka hai chashosha, dilma argisha v'lava daitei. You're telling me that maybe she had argosha. What is there, less of a chance, less of a statistical probability that in the case of Lo Higia, Zmana Liros, that she would have a argosha and she didn't know about it? Meaning again, we don't know if she had argosha or not. And again, the dam came igufa. How do I know the dam came igufa? Because she was locked up. There was no exposure to any other dam. Why is it not dam doraisa? Because she didn't have argosha. No, if she didn't have argosha, the rabbanim came and said tumid rabbanah. And why is that tumid rabbanah? Because maybe she did have argosha. So what are you going to tell me? That because she's a ktana, therefore we don't assume that maybe she had argosha? Is therefore, he says, Mishum Hochi Huchrach Rashi Lefaresh, therefore Rashi had to add another possibility. You know why there's no ksamim in Tinokes? That's not because of the absence of Argosha. The absence of Argosha generates a Tumah D'Rabbanan, but because of Ikul and Mitli, the Asi Mi'alma. That we have more of a pressing, reasonable doubt that maybe it came from Mi'alma. If not for the fact that we're choshish that it came Mi'alma, is chayshid and duma argosha v'lo adaita. V'yeno chashash and d'rabbanan, that's already a doraisa. So all these games that we're playing, that the rabbanan would make ill, and even though she didn't go through a shuk shel tabachim, maybe she did go through shuk shel tabachim, all that makes sense on a d'rabbanan level. The rabbanan can manipulate it. It's flexible. But in the case of a doraisa, did she have argosha or not? The rabbanan have no reason and no justification to be make ill for a tinokes. So Rashi was forced, therefore, to introduce a reasonable doubt that maybe the dam came mi'alma. But as far as a situation where we know that the dam came mi'gufa, elo what, there was no argosha, so the rabbanu are going to be matami. Why? The rabbanu are always matami in the absence of argosha, because they're afraid that she did have argosha. I saw Yisok Rashi, Dilma argosha v'lava daite. Is therefore, he says, Hecha devadai mi'gufa asya. Ain lechalik ben higiyazmana lelo higiyazmana. So if we know that it came in gufa, then in the case of this tinokes, we have to be metamia for sure. And the reason for that is because they'll argue shov v'lava
dait. What happened to the sefer of the Rashi?
Don't know. You have to introduce Rami over here. I don't know. Is it Rami changes one word in Rashi, and that changes.
Is there one other possibility in Rashi? Rashi says that we really, if we can be toilet in any way, we're toilet. Mm-hmm. If we can't, it's possible that the Rabbanan would not go there. Aratinokas.
Why is Rashi tickling our brain to tell us that? If Rashi's saying that they weren't goes there, even though there's no possibility of Tliya and Nicha, but if Rashi thinks maybe, you know, Rashi doesn't know, was Rashi.
Nobody else knows it. Rashi's the only one that says it.
And all the poskim assume, like Rashi in the Reisha, and the Sidrei Torah says it has to be that way, because if the whole Gzera of Ksamim, according to Rashi, is because Dilma Argosha, that applies equally to a Tinoko Shalo Rasa. The only nafkamina between a Tinoko Shalo Rasa, a Tinoko Shalo Gil Ismano, and a mature woman is in the abundance of Dam, and in the fact that she's not mature enough to recognize the fact that maybe she did have exposure to Dam. So you're going down the path of Tliya. If you close that avenue,
then Rashi is trying to bring up one other possible Safi, which is, maybe they didn't make the gzera.
Yeah, okay. But you know, why would Rashi say maybe? You know, Mimonavshach. If Rashi holds that they didn't make the gzera, then Rashi should have said
so. If he said they did make the gzera, then he has no reason to talk about Tli altogether. So that's
no, but I'm just saying, Alan, if Rashi holds that they didn't make the gzera, then Rashi has nothing to talk about. Forget about, you know, she did go down a shuk shel tabach and she was locked up and she didn't. That's all irrelevant.
Yeah, so
Rashi's raising the possibility that she that there was never a gzera, says the Sidrei Torah, that's impossible. Because what do you mean there was no gzera? There's no reason why there shouldn't be a gzera. The whole gzera l'shitas Rashi of Ksamim is predicated on Dilma Argosha. If it's Dilma Argosha, what difference it make if she's below age? That's irrelevant. You know, I would even make it into a kal v'chomer. You want to worry about the fact that she did have argosha? I would say that if in a gdola the rabbanu were worried about argosha, how much more so in the case of a katana? She's not mature enough to recognize a argosha. I don't know, but I'm saying one could.
No, but
here's where I want to get to the punchline. Okay. Aval shita satosvis. Tosfos has another shita in the essence of ksavim. Why the Rabbanim created a tuma of ksavim? Dibra maskel mode. It's the top Tosfos here on Nunches Omen Aleph. Shepirshu dafilu bevadai lo hirgisha. She for sure didn't have argosha. Asya, we still have this tuma de Rabbanan. Again, Rashi seems to imply that if we would know for sure, I don't know if you remember, we discussed different physiological phenomena where maybe we could be absolutely sure that she didn't have argosha, right? The dam was covered by something else, a different discharge. Well, I'm not going to go through that now. But according to Rashi, if there's no Dilma Argisha, then there's no Tumah D'Rabbanan. Tosfos says no. Even if it's Vadai Dilo Argisha, nevertheless, Afilu Hochi Tmeya Mid'Rabbanan. Which basically means that according to Tosfos, the Tumah D'Rabbanan of Ksamim just simply drops the requirement of Argosha. The Torah stipulated that when is a woman tmeya, that's only if she had argosha. The Rabbanan dropped that requirement. And even in the absence of argosha, she's tmeya. Is lefiz there? Dafka bi giyaz mana liros gozru. Why? Again, listen to his logic, he says. What motivated the Rabbanan to make this gzera, if we, you know, even in the case where we know she didn't have argosha? Kidei shelo yovel hakel bidam. They didn't want to differentiate the Rabbanon between Dam Shiyotzis Migufa with Argosh and Dam Shiyotzis Migufa below Argosh, because they were afraid that if we're lenient about Dam below Argosh, somebody might mistakenly extend that leniency and apply it even if there was Argosh. Is therefore, maybe we could say the following. He says, Dafka bi giyaz mana liros gozru shalotovo lahakel bidoma dechazial de Argosha. In other words, a woman who's in the parsha of Riyas Dam, she's already mature enough and she's having a regular flow of Dam, she's bleeding monthly. So we really have to worry if we're going to be Matayra Halabaila when she has no Argosha. Maybe, will, you know, mistakenly somebody will think and extend it even in the case where she had Argosha. Avol be'isha shelo igiyaz mana. Lo shayach gzeiruzu de lav basra iyahi is lo gozru afilu bevadai migufa asya kevan shlo argisha. He said something beautiful over here. He's coming to the same lomdusha conclusion as the divrei chamudos, that maybe she's not bechlal the gzeira even in a case where she definitely has no tliya possibility. But he's giving us a logic that justifies that conclusion that she wasn't included in the Gzeira based on Tosfos. It's not going to work for Rashi, and therefore for sure everything that we've seen in the Chavos Das and the Sidrei Tara is correct in Rashi's frame of reference. Let's just go over this one more, because if Rashi's saying that the reason why the Rabbanu were Metamei Ksavim is because maybe she had Argosha, that logic compels us even in the case of a Tinokas. The only reason to be making a Tinokas is if and when we have a possibility of Tliya. But now he's suggesting that there's a whole different definition of Gzeiras Ksavim. Why was there Gzeiras Ksamim? Because today you're going to be Mekil without Argosha. Today you're going to be Mekil without Argosha. Tomorrow she'll be Mekil with Argosha. She's not going to be such a lambdin, you know, and no, well, yesterday they told me go back home to your husband because I didn't have Argosha, and today they're going to tell me, oh, you're also Levila because you had Argosha. There's a confusion here. Says the Sidrei Tara in the light of Tosfos, that all the Rabbanim did was they said that there's Tumas neither without Argosha, then it could very well be that there was a limitation in that Gzera. When do they have this fear that, you know, tomorrow she's going to do this, or she's that, in a woman who's already a Roa Dam, you know, she's in that period of her life, she's entered into that mature period of life where she's a Roa. If she's a Roa, for a Roa, we have to be very nervous. Today she's going to be, we're going to make her for her in case X, and tomorrow she'll extend it to case Y, and she may come to Chas V'Shalom and Issacharis if she had a Hargosh. But in the case of a woman who wasn't Roa Dam Bichlal, there they didn't include her in the Gzera at all. And that means that halacha lemaisa, according to Tosas' shita, the way the Sidrei Tara is presenting it, if there's even, I have to add that word, even if there's absolutely no possibility of tliya, nevertheless, she's not tmeya. And the reason for that is she wasn't included in the gzeira. So what I wanted to, just as we sort of come to the to wrap this up, I want to read to you the language of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Okay, this is in Tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger, Simon Samach Beis. And he writes the following. This is Simon Samach Beis in Rabbi Kiva Eger. Now I'm not sure if, you know, there are different editions of Shur Rabbi Kiva Eger and Yoredeya, so see if you can find it. You'll be able to tell by the title. It should say something about a katana. Okay. Tmiyah al-shach. Now again, I admit to you, I don't know where the shach is. I just simply, I need hours to find the shach. It's somewhere, but nobody tells me where it is. The shach kosev dehechad adam vaday migufa. If she was locked up again, or whatever the case is, damal b'sara, we know it came migufa, it didn't come from the shukshal tabachim, then eina tmeya biktano. Masvar lechalek, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, ben ketana l'gdola. Sherei chachamim asru dam afil below argosha. Val korchenu asvara. Shebe ketana mekilun tfei litlos ba. Kevon delo mistabrish adam mimena. Since she's not a roa, then it doesn't make sense that the dam came from her, so we'll go to all ends of the world and assume the dam came from everybody else. Aval bin bevadai migufa. Ela de lo regisha, madua netayer. So the logic that we saw in the Chavos Das and in the Reish of Rashi as interpreted by the Divrei Chamudos is the logic of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't get out of this problem, but the answer to this problem is the Seif of Rashi, the way the Divrei Chamudos explains it, that she, this Ketana Shelo Roa, was never included in the Gzeira to begin with. Rabbi Kiva Eger is totally, totally oblivious to me. Now, the last thing I wanted to suggest, again, you tell me if we have to go, but could this be related to our original question from, I would have said a week ago, but I mean a week before Pesach, if you like. And that is, what's the relationship between the drasha of Shmuel and the drasha of Rabbi Akiva? On Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, Shmuel darshens the word bibsara, ashitargish bibsara. Rabbi Akiva told his students when he was mekil, you know, with this woman who once had a dam, had a maka, and even though, you know, it's lo chaisa, nevertheless he was mekil. And Rabbi Akiva came up with a different drasha, and that's dam velok summon. So why is it that Shmuel is oblivious to Rabbi Kiva Eger and vice vice versa? You know, they're like on two different drasha paths here. So if you recall, we went through the Binas Adam, and he said the following, that they're addressing two different issues. The issue of Rabbi Akiva is where did this dam come from? Because the case of this woman who came in to ask her question was that of a kesem. And whenever there's a kesem, we have to raise the possibility that dam came mi'al. Says Rabbi Akiva, dam velo kesem, meaning the Torah is not willing to be metame b'safek. Here's where, if you remember, the Binas Adam invoked the sugya of mamzer vade velo mamzer safek. The Torah never prohibited dam unless it was absolutely certain to us that this dam came in Amokar. If we have a possibility that it came from the Alma, that's not dam de orais. Comes along Shmuel, and Shmuel addresses a totally different question. And that is, what if we know the dam came migufa? So the drush of Rabbi Akiva doesn't kick in. Says Shmuel, I have another drush, another condition. And that is that she have dam behargosh. So far, so good. Yeah, these are the cardinal principles that we've been dealing with. There are two There are two issues when we reduce Tumas Lida from a Doraisa to the Rabbanan. One issue is, did it come Igufa? We don't know. And the Torah says, Dam, meaning that we know Vade came Igufa, but not Kesem, which may have come from somewhere else. And number two, there's another reason to reduce it from a Doraisa to the Rabbanan. That's the Drosh of Shmuel, Bibsara, Ashitargish, Ashitargish, Bibsara.
Okay.
Now, we had an Afkamina. What was an Afkamina? What about a case where we know the dam came migufa? Like, for example, Shmuel says she checked the ground, sat on the ground. That's a kesem, there was no argosha. In the worst case scenario, you're dealing with Tumah Derabbanan. But we know it came migufa. So the Binas Adam wants to say that in such a case, it makes no difference whether it's kigris v'od or even less than a kigris v'od. Why? Because that differentiation makes sense within the context of Rabbi Akiva's sofek, did it come migufa, did it come mi'alma? If the Rabbanu wanted to be metame, well, let's try to figure out, is there a reasonable doubt that maybe it came migufa or maybe it came mi'alma? And if it's got already a kigris v'od, the Rabbanu is saying, you know, there's a reasonable doubt maybe it came migufa because the Marcolus is not that large, so it's hard to be, very hard to be told. But if Lu Yitzu, we know that the dam came migufa, nor of us she didn't have argosha, and now the Rabbanu agreed with Tamid, that should apply to Tipas Dam Kecharlo. Why? Because what difference to make what the size of the dam is? We're not introducing the element of where did it come from and what's the size of this Makolas and is it, you know, how large is the gris code and all that stuff. A woman is Tveya with Tipas Dam Kecharlo. Nor of us, she didn't have argosha, but the Rabbanu were metamia without argosha. So how does this tie in to Rashi and Tosfos that the Sidrei Tara says would be the soul of what happens in the case of a tinokes and she doesn't have the possibility of tliya? That means the dam vadeke migufa. Oh, so if we want to say that if dam came migufa, there's a brand new tumah derabbanan, haraya, according to the binas adam, that tumah applies with kigris or without kigris. It's a brand new category. Basically, what the rabbanan are saying is that drop the ball on the requirement of argosha. The rabbanan, even without argosha, she's tmeya, despite the fact that we know for sure the dam came migufa. So the question I want to raise with you is, when the Rabbanan made that gzera, that even if we know that the dam came migufa, did they include a tinokos in that gzera? And one could ostensibly argue that she was never included in the gzera. But if we go back to the category of Tumah Derabbanan of Rabbi Akiva, namely was the dam migufa, not dam migufa, then in the case of a Tinokes, just like in the case of Gdola, we have to ask ourselves that serious question, did it come Igufa, did not come Igufa? And if she was locked up and it didn't come Igufa, then she should be Tmeya Midr Abanan even without Argosha. And that's where Kesem should apply. So in a funny sort of way, this Machlokas that we're touching on, and I'm not sure exactly how to line up the Shitas, but it seems to be the Shach and the Divrei Chamuris and Rashi on the one side of the spectrum, and the Chavos Das and the Sidrei Tara on the other hand side of the spectrum, that machlokes, in a case where there's no possibility of tliya in a tinokes, might depend upon these two approaches to Tumah Derabbanan. If your approach to Tumah Derabbanan is that Derabbanan created this Tumah even without Hargosha, despite the fact that we know it came Igufa, then it could be that the Rabbanan maybe didn't include the Tinokas in the Gzera. But if the Gzera is that we're going to have a Tumah Derabbanan because we think it came Igufa, unless we have a Tliya, then that should apply logically even to the case of Tinokas, and then the Chavos Das and the Sidrei Tara are correct. Okay, then we'll stop here. So this whole school of thought of the Chavos Das and the Sagittarian Rabbi Kivegan is Tshuvas says the following, that Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos can only be Mekel in a Ketana as far as the Chumra of Dam Volo Kesem of Rabbi Akiva, namely if it's a Sofek, maybe it came Mi'alma. And therefore, if we know that it didn't come Mi'alma, we have to be Machmir even in the case of a Ketana. But as far as the din of Shmuel, of Vesorah, Chitargish, Vesorah, that Chazal created a Tumah Derabbanan without Hargosh, it's a brand new entity, then did they include a Ketana in this entity, in this new Gzeir of Tumah, or were they limited only to a Gedolah?